Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show here on Raping Community Radio. And in the studio, I've got Dennis Amor, our community board chairperson. Last time I saw you was at a meeting about the future of wastewater treatment and disposal in the community. I thought like this was an issue that would never, ever get dealt with in any of our lifetimes, but it looks like it is going to be dealt with.
Yeah, no, it's actually progressed pretty well. A lot of it you can't see because the work going up with the MBR that's going on the sewage treatment site is sort of out of sight of everyone, so no one can see what's going on there.
But well, you're not allowed up there, but, no, but you and I and a few others were invited a few months ago, so we have seen work happening, and yeah, they are building this. We're going to call it a very fancy sewage works.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, it'll be a good treatment. It's a very efficient treatment plant. It's due to be finished mid 2025 if I got my dates right.
I think at that meeting the other night, they suggested it might be earlier.
Oh, well, if we get it earlier, then that's a bonus, obviously.
Mm.
And then the other part of the meeting was about the discharge on Wainui Reserve, where it's going to happen now, down one of the gullies there, which a few people were sceptical about when they started talking about the volumes of water, sort of about 1.2 million litres of water a day, which should disperse across the whole widths and sides of the valley.
When you say million, it sounds like a lot, but the engineers were saying it's really not that much.
No, I guess.
Which I still feel like it's a lot.
Yeah, I'm a little bit the same. You sort of put it in volumes, but when you look at the flows down rivers and things like that, it's fairly insignificant, I guess. But it's just a matter of how that's going to go. And it's not 100% final because they're still doing their geotech core drilling and everything like that to see what the porosity of the land there is. So,
and that will answer the questions that a few people had about the ones who are disbelieving that they said, no, that's going to flow over the surface.
Yeah, that's right, because if the porosity is right, obviously it'll go down to the surface, it'll go underground and that sort of thing, and then dispersed wherever the underwater water table takes it.
Mm. And they, afterwards I was talking to someone and they were like, you know, if there's a bit of the beach below that where the sand is damper than other areas, or there's even water on the surface for some reason, people are going to be, ooh, yuck. And I'm like, at what point do we, and this is what one of the engineers was saying, at what point do we stop thinking of this as water with human waste? Because what we've been told about the new plant is that the water will be visually indistinguishable from
drinking water.
Tap water. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess that's where Peter was saying that just sort of you've got to develop a new relationship with the water because it is that clean that, you know, as you say, it's almost drinking water quality and things like that. So I guess the treatment's got it to a level where it's going to be safe. But, you know, if you walk along Nauru Beach and that sort of thing, you'll find wet spots on the beach at various places
anyway,
quite regularly. So, you know, it's not an indication that the water's coming to the surface from what's being run off from the wastewater scheme or anything like that. It's just one of those things that happens.
Yeah, of course the beach is, it's not quite a cliff face, but it's, you know, there's a big steep bank there.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right. And there's several gullies along. If you walk along there, you'll see that there's four or five gullies for them when you start at just below the old Bryant home all the way back to the harbour entrance.
Yeah.
Where, you know, runoff is running down through the gullies. It doesn't run onto the beach because there's no streams across the beach as such, but it obviously gets absorbed by the sand and dissipates underground.
Yeah, yeah. I did ask about the cost, and initially we'd been talking, there was the idea that it might be up Mangatawhiri Road, and people were talking about $38, $40 million for that, and that's a lot of money. This one, when I asked the question, they said it would be $8 million to do, which was a lot of money to us personally, but for council, it's more doable?
Well, it's certainly more palatable, I guess, as a ratepayer. It still seems like an awful lot of money for a pumping station and a pipe.
Yeah.
And I know Councillor Kerr, for example, is arguing the costs on it, saying that, you know, he doesn't understand how it could possibly be $8 million. But
he said that to me afterwards. He said he thought it could be, and he wants to tell them to make it cheaper. Well, not tell them, but, you know, he wants to investigate how it can be cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. So there's still some work to be done on that.
Yeah, yeah. And we should emphasise that we have to wait for the soil report to come.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, and once I've got that, and they indicated they might have that before the end of the year, didn't they? So once I've got that, they can make final decisions then and get on with the final design and firm up pricing.
Yeah, and the timeline, what was the timeline on that? It was like, it was only a few years, the entire thing would be done and dusted.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember the exact date. I'm not sure he actually said when that would come into play.
It was in the back of, I'm now looking around as if I've got the paper here, but it was in the back of a handout they had. I'm not going to say the number because I'm trying to remember it, but it not that long in terms of you know, these sort of infrastructure projects, just a few years.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't take long to put a pipeline across, which is, you know, 3 kilometres or 4 kilometres maximum, probably, which it is, and build a pumping station. They should be able to knock that out in 12 months. Obviously, there's a consenting process to go through and a few things that may create some delays on that.
Yeah. And I think also what was interesting was the discussion about when we get a lot of rain and the system overflows, which it always does. And as far as I can tell, like this is, we're talking about rainwater getting into the sewage system, which it shouldn't, but it does. And I've kind of asked questions around this. It seems to be, from the feeling I get from talking to people, is that no matter how hard you work, it's always going to happen. I mean, is that, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, we've still got a whole lot of old houses in Ragland where, you know, stormwater and wastewater tended to get mixed.
But they did, they did some surveys, they did smoke testing over the last 10 years.
Yeah, so I don't know how well that's been sorted out. We also have had manholes that have been, where it's been raised, that sewage manholes have been below or got flooded over with stormwater and things like that. So there's been, probably last 5 years, there's been ongoing exercises to rectify all those. So hopefully the amount of stormwater that ends up in the wastewater system is a lot less than it used to be, and we can continue to minimise it.
And certainly we don't want any seawater in it.
No, it's going to make the treatment plant struggle a little bit.
Although they've allowed for that, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure how they manage that or whether it's just a dilution process or not.
Yeah, or everything's made of stainless steel.
But like you say, I think just with the overflow and peak flooding or peak rainfall areas, the old ponds are still going to be there, so that any extra that can't go through the plant at the time will go into the old ponds, and then it'll be treated at a later date.
Pumped back into the system,
yeah.
Yeah, and ultimately, if that can't handle it, they can still send it through the old pipe.
Yeah, well,
That was a suggestion. I guess that's for community to decide or Mana Whenua to decide.
I guess that would be an extreme situation too.
Yeah, well, they were talking like 1 in 100 year events.
Yep.
Except they seem to come every 10 years these days. So.
Yeah.
But are you feeling good about this?
Yeah, no, I think at the moment it's pleasing to see. I think it's a huge improvement, and it's making good progress. I guess the only concern will be is just how much our targeted rate will change as a reflection of it, because at the end of the day, they've got to pay for it.
Yeah, although they have to pay for, I mean, they're paying for upgrades throughout the district of like Merimeri and Te Kauwhara have had upgrades.
Yeah, it's not just a Ragland problem. It's certainly a problem in the other areas, and the targeted rate is across the whole district. It's not just in Ragland.
Yeah, so we share. At the moment, our rates have been paying for their upgrade, and now their rates are paying for ours. So
yeah, and if you're a rural person, then you're not going to get any upgrade, but you've still got to pay for ours.
Yeah, shouldn't be allowed to go to the toilets when they come to Ragland.
I think just the other thing too, there's some drop-in sessions going to be held up on the reserve.
Yeah.
I haven't got the dates in front of me, but they are on the council webpage.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to know more information and have a look at where it's going to be discharged, those drop-in sessions are going to be held on the reserve right down the far north end of the reserve. So go to the top roundabout, turn right and drive to the very end of there.
And walk.
And then there'll no doubt be someone down there that you can meet with.
Yeah, and it's like looking at the big picture, it's this little gully that it's going into, a reasonably sized gully, is near the pines. So it's kind of, I think it's a bit of a walk.
Oh, is it? It's that far up. Okay.
I'm just trying to remember the picture. Yeah, it's near it, not right up against it, but pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's positive progress. Also, at the campground slash soccer fields with the stormwater work they're doing there, how's progress there?
Progress there is excellent. The civil contractor and the project manager on that project done a fantastic job. It will be finished before Christmas, I can say that. I had a talk to the project manager yesterday.
Yeah.
He's looking to give practical completion before Christmas. The pumps are due to arrive next week, and they'll be installed. And at the moment, they're just tidying everything up, regrassing parts of it and things like that. So it's all on track, and, yeah, it'll make a huge improvement. There will be some work done in the new year after the peak holiday period, where the humps and hollows throughout the whole of the camping ground will be filled in, levelled and things like that, because we've got quite a lot of topsoil that was taken out as part of the excavation.
Campground and soccer fields?
We haven't gone quite as far as the soccer fields, Aaron, yet.
Because all the vehicles that have been driving over the soccer fields will have created hollows.
Okay, I can talk to the project manager about that, and we can have a look at that.
There was a time when I was helping out with the soccer where I could probably have done a contour map of the soccer fields. I knew it so well. So, yeah, it's hollow. And it seems to, and even without vehicles, it seems to hollow out in places at times anyway. It's, it's weird. I mean, it's sand built on sand. So.
Yeah. So, no, as a project, it's gone very well. A bit of inconvenience and a bit of lost revenue for the camping ground board and that sort of thing. But there's a win at the end of it for them in that we won't, hopefully, all going well, we won't have any flooding within the camping ground going forward.
So that, I remember there was quite a few years ago, there was a big flood. Like, I went over there and you were sort of knee deep in some places. So did that keep happening?
Well, I don't know if they got that bad, but there's certainly flooding around some tent sites and some caravan sites and things like that. Yeah. So that this will alleviate all that.
Yeah, and I know the soccer fields continue to flood. I did hear about that. So,
and hopefully we'll see an improvement in that area as well this year.
Yeah. Okay. Looking forward to that. What else are we going to talk about? I know it's in the agenda. It's just pictures of work that's been done, but the work at the wharf, that's finished off, and the work down Wenera Street, that's finished off. Wenera Street down Wenera, what do we call it?
Wenera Street, the walkway between the bridge and the jetty is complete, but there's design work going on the section from the bridge to St. John's, I guess you could call it, or the fire station end. So the design work on that is well underway, and the project manager and council are going to do a presentation to the board of what's planned there. So that side of the walkway will be completed in 2025, and then that'll be an upgrade of the whole thing. So it'll be a similar design in principle, but there's a lot more civil work to be done on the wall, on the walkway wall.
So it's the structure of the wall is the question.
That is part of the challenge this time around. So there's a lot of grouting to be done on that side to strengthen the wall before we do the walkway on top.
And folks, when Dennis says civil work, he means engineering work, not that the contractors will be super polite. Because
they're always polite. We select the right contractors. Come on, Aaron. In fact, actually, the contractors we had at Papahua and the ones we had on the Wenera walkway were actually excellent in that respect.
Times have changed over the last couple of generations in reality, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, well, we close with the Wenera walkway. We'll close that. I guess it's the southern end. We'll close that end off again, I would imagine, and everyone will have to use the northern end just to make it easier and allows them just to expedite it and get on with it.
Okay. Now, at the last community board meeting, which was 6 weeks ago, because we're talking to Dennis because there's a community board meeting next Wednesday coming up.
At the town hall.
Town hall, 1:30.
Yep.
At the last one, there was a council manager there actually taking notes from you guys about issues for some kind of town plan. Which that was the first concrete sign that I'd seen that something would be done in the way of a town plan. There seems to be concern about, there's all these categories, like a structure plan, that costs a lot of money to make.
Yeah,
and they're wondering if they're going to do that.
No, we're not going to have a structure plan. There seems to be about four levels. So I believe James is coming to this meeting. So hopefully we'll get some update on that.
Okay.
But we're just looking for looking to be able to, from the community, give some direction to council of what the priorities we are that we see in Raglan and what the community sees in Raglan.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were kind of spitballing in the meeting because I don't think you knew that you were going to get that chance, but immediately everyone was like, oh, I know this. So you've probably had the time to figure out a few other things as well since then.
Yeah, there is a list of things that we've got. So we are doing a bit of a planning meeting on prior to the meeting. On next Wednesday, but there are a lot of things that have been sitting out there in the pipeline that just haven't made progress, and we're keen to get some movement on those sort of things and get some focus on those, because it all needs to go into the LTP, because effectively we're putting an LTP together for the next 9 years, And any of the projects that we want need to go into there now if we're going to get them done in the next 9 years.
Yeah, so folks, that's a really important point. That's the council spending plan. And we already did like pre-engagement, they can sometimes call it. And so there'll be, now that the staff will be putting together the draft plan, and then that'll be open for comments sometime next year, early next year.
Yeah, it'll be out for public submission next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is a lot of debate going on in council at the present time. So if people have got things, talk to Lisa, talk to myself, and that sort of thing, so we can try and encourage council to start thinking about those things.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that does kind of bring us to, actually, first of all, is there anyone else coming to the meeting to talk at all?
Pamela Story from Regional Council's coming.
Okay.
She's got a couple of things on her agenda. One, I think, is the public transport rating system on how they're going to charge for public transport, because I couldn't quite work it out. They are talking about three options, but I couldn't find the options in the submission that was there, so I need to have another look. I think the other one was the aquaculture in this area. And what's happening with aquaculture in this area.
Is that the people who want aquaculture are coming?
No. I think Pamela's talking about some document they're preparing on aquaculture.
Okay. I know Angeline Greensill has had things to say about...
Lots of people have things to say.
From out of town. Yeah, but when she has things to say, there tends to be a little bit of action following it. So it's always interesting to see.
Yeah, well, Kawhia and Aotea both have aquaculture. Raglan's... You can either say it's behind the times or it's opposed to it. I'm not sure which...
I think one of her perspectives is if we're going to do it, we should be doing it instead of an out-of-town company or something like that. I know that's something she said to me. The thing with the transport that Pamela Story from the Regional Council is coming to talk about, the funding has changed, isn't it? Because it used to be NZTA, the District Council and the Regional Council combined, but now it's all been shifted. Well, not all. The District Council's dropping out of it, so you guys are dropping out of it.
Yep.
And so... I guess they're taking that as a chance to revamp everything.
Yeah, and look at basically how they can recover the cost from it.
Yeah, and bearing in mind that over the last couple of years, they haven't been able to pay enough for bus drivers that anyone actually wants to do the job. Well, some people are doing the job, but they've really struggled to find staff.
Yeah, that's very noticeable.
Yeah, and that was like when we had State Highway 23 closed and the buses were doing extra trips, I was asking the question, because they had to cut one of the bus trips. And I was like, what happens to the workers who rely on the bus? And there was no answer because they had no drivers.
Hmm.
That's the conclusion I came to in the end.
So, okay, yep.
Yeah, so there's issues there. Yeah. Well, most people don't take buses, we know that. Okay, so...
Actually, just on the bus thing, and yep. This is something I was talking to, we were having a talk about, and we're talking to John Lawson about. Raglan people, you are able to take the bus from Raglan to Manu Bay. Just because the bus goes from Manu Bay to Hamilton doesn't mean you have to do the whole trip. So if you're in Raglan, you want to go to Manu Bay for a few hours, you can actually catch the bus to Manu Bay and you catch the bus from Manu Bay back to Raglan.
Yeah.
And I think people just need to be aware of that. It's, you can jump on it, jump off it, almost sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes out a couple of times a day now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we were talking about the long-term plan, the community, and the community boards will have things to say. At the end of our last interview, you were talking about you were frustrated because you felt like council wasn't always listening to what you guys were saying, and you're the community board representing the people, and you guys are all mostly in touch with the community, all from different parts of it, so you know what the community wants. I guess an example was the boat ramp charges that yep. you had done some work on, and then what happened to those?
Well, basically, I think it got put in the too hard basket. No one in council seemed to be prepared to look at how they could collect the revenue, and it was just felt that it was going to be too hard to collect it.
But this is done in how many boat ramps around the island?
Yeah, well, you know, when we sort of made recommendations of what sort of figure they could charge, which was sort of typically around $100 a year for a resident. Basically, that came by looking at all the other boat ramps around the countryside and looking at what they were paying. So, yeah, it's collected in other areas. So it's only a matter of talking to other councils and saying, well, how do you collect it? And sure, you're going to miss a few that drop in for the day and that sort of thing, but you're still going to get some revenue that goes back towards maintenance of the boat ramps.
And you know a lot of the local boaties. You are one of them. Was everyone happy with a fee?
Generally speaking, they weren't that opposed to the idea as long as money got spent on the assets to keep the assets maintained.
Yeah.
And so as long as it's going back to that, generally speaking, yeah, there was a positive reaction to it.
Yeah, so it was a win-win for everybody, but maybe the staff.
Yeah, yeah.
So and from your perspective, is this like that's a one issue, but is this a problem with a common problem?
Well, you get the feeling that it is, and part of that's they definitely don't appear to pick up on things yet you're raising, and they're very slow to put plans in place. You know, Munnebo boat ramp, getting that cleaned and getting the rocks off that. You know, I don't know how many times we've raised that. But I've still got boaties coming to me and saying, hey, we've got rocks all over the bottom of the ramp. You know, we could put in a three monthly contract with someone just to go and do it three times a year or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just little things like that. The same with the cycle guys trying to get the connectivity between the footpath and Wainui Reserve. You know, you have these meetings, you have discussions, you have Zoom calls, and it all goes into a dark hole. And that, but on that one, something is happening. And actually, Stephanie's coming to from council, is coming to this meeting to give us an update on a few of those things, and the preparation of Wainui Reserve, or a preparation of council for overflow parking at Wainui Reserve and Papahua, and things like that. But yeah, it gets a bit frustrating, Aaron. It was the same with the sort of structure plan or plan. We've raised that many times. We get told, well, someone will come and see you after Christmas. Well, they are. But it's 11 months since Christmas, since last year, and they're going to make it just in time.
I know it moves at a different speed in council, and you and I have both had experience working in private companies that do construction projects. You'd been on some monster ones compared to what I was involved with, but we both had the experience that things would just happen. Like you couldn't afford to go that slow because you'd be out of business, or your boss would be.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, if you're working for Fonterra and you're doing a major project from them, basically the cows start calving at a certain time of the year and the milk starts flowing and your project has to be finished. You don't get a chance to delay it.
And I know we complain about this aspect of council, but I don't have the experience with other councils to know whether this is just how it is, or whether it can be improved, whether we should try, or other things go wrong if you try to push them too fast. I don't honestly have an answer. I have an opinion, but it's not a very well-informed one.
Yeah, I guess my information only comes from what you read in the media, but you certainly get the impression in other areas that, and particularly in Hamilton, that ratepayers get pretty frustrated with the speed of things happening in there as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of squabbling on that council.
Yeah, they have other issues, yes.
Yeah, at least, actually, that is one thing I'll say about our council, is that the councillors seem to be able to operate quite well together, even though they come from the usual diverse backgrounds. I mean, you should expect that.
Well, yeah. You definitely want diverse backgrounds, so,
yeah,
you know, and we do have that on our council for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, we're talking to Dennis Amore, Community Board Chairperson. Is there anything else that we should mention before we let you go? Sort of projects going. It feels like things have been kind of quiet lately, aside from that, the wastewater treatment issue.
Yeah, there's things happening around the district and progress on projects and things like that. The walkway that I just talked about looks like that's going to happen and get up and running. So there should be connectivity between Wainui Reserve and Raglan before Christmas, with a bit of luck.
Yeah.
And things like you said, Papahua. There's all the parking's been upgraded, and we've got new sealed areas at Wainui Reserve and Papahua. Yeah. So things have been happening, and that sort of thing. We do have Extreme Waste coming to talk to us at the meeting as well, so we'll be talking to them about rubbish collection over the Christmas
period.
Over
Christmas.
And make sure that's happening, because every year we still seem to have problems, particularly over at Papahua.
Apparently, the bins
getting filled. So
last time they were at the community board, they basically couldn't drive fast enough to keep up with the bins filling up.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's a solution to that. There was a note, actually, I did notice in the agenda something about the Te Uku situation. Is someone coming to talk about that? It was just in the...
Not that I'm aware of. It's in the Works and Issues report, I think.
It was just like a sentence.
They've tidied that whole waste collection area up there, out there now, and it's very dependent on the users to make sure that they put the rubbish in the appropriate places. And if you are driving from Hamilton to Tauhara and you want to drop your rubbish off, just be courteous to the people at Tauhara. They've done a lot of, put in a lot of effort and time to get that facility there, along with Extreme Waste. So please take time to put your rubbish in the right places.
Although maybe those of us who live in Raglan shouldn't be using the Tauhara drop-off
point. We shouldn't be using the drop-off point. No, we shouldn't.
And, yeah.
And most of us probably don't, but obviously there are some that just dump their bag and disappear.
Yeah, yeah. And your comments, your critical comments of council not listening to the community board, can I make that my headline when we write up this interview?
You can do what you like, Aaron.
You can do what we like, okay.
Look at us. You know how reporters are and stand commentators.
Stand by.
You'll be able to take over from Mike Hosking soon.
Oh, I don't think so. I'm a little bit different to Mike. Very different, I would say. We're probably a similar age, and that's about it. Yeah. All right, Dennis, thanks for coming.
And your salary's probably different.
Yeah, there's a couple more zeros on his probably. Yeah. Thanks for coming in.